Arkansas law requires most local government entities to record their public meetings and make the recordings available upon request. But is that happening? Not always, at least not in the Arkansas River Valley, according to reporting by two members of our staff. And we're going to talk about that today on the Know the News podcast. Hello, my name is Rusty Turner. I'm the editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Welcome to our weekly podcast. Fort Smith attorney Joey McCutcheon tells us that he has a client in one of the River Valley small towns who found out that his town was not recording meetings and making them available to the public. This prompted him to start checking around to see if other local governments were having the same problem with recordings, and he's also considering legal action in the one case where his client was denied those recordings. So he's here today to talk about that with us. Hi, Joey.
Hello, Rusty. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on the phone. I appreciate it very much. Also with us today is Thomas Jacinte. He's one of our reporters at the River Valley Democrat Gazette, and he has teamed up with his colleague, Monica Brick, to check on which local governments do not have the recordings available. And their story is going to appear in this weekend's edition of the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Hi, Thomas.
Hello, Rusty. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Hey, Joey, let's start with you. What prompted your client, and I believe his name is J.B. Turner, to inquire about the recordings of the city council meetings in Branch, which is a small town in Franklin County?
Yeah, when we have, we've actually, I think probably as we speak, and they're filing the lawsuit regarding the failure to record meetings at Branch. Mr. Turner's a very active citizen. I mean, he's engaged in local government, in his case, Branch, Arkansas. And, you know, he gets minutes after meetings, but he was reading the minutes and he's like, this isn't what I said. The minutes were just inaccurate. And I've seen that in various instances. So, he contacted me and said, you know, the minutes just aren't accurate. I said, well, why don't you just request the video recording and we'll see exactly what you said and what compare that with what's in the minutes. Bottom line is he sent a Freedom of Information Act request and the city replied that they were not recording, their meetings like the law requires.
And the law does in fact require that cities keep those recordings. It's a fairly new amendment to the FOI, but it took effect just in 2020, I believe. So, tell us, Thomas. I know you've done some reporting on that. Tell us about that law. What is the requirement there?
Well, basically, the law in question is called Act 1028, lead sponsor of which was Representative Vivian Flowers, a Democrat from Pine Bluff. And basically, this act stipulates that that a public entity is required to record all of its scheduled, special, and called open public meetings, so your city council, board of directors meetings, and the like. Record those meetings in a way that captures sound. And this could be done in multiple ways, either through an audio recording with like a tape recorder or the memo app on your phone, video recording with sound, or a digital and analog broadcast that's capable of being recorded. And it also stipulates that said public entity is required to maintain these recordings for at least 1 year from when the meeting took place in a way that can be reproduced for the public on upon request. You know, a person asks for a copy of this file, they have to find a way to transfer the file to that person, the person requesting that.
And Joey, I'll let you speak to this a little bit. Why would such a law be important? Why would it be important to the citizens of Arkansas that these recordings be made and then also made easily available to the citizens?
Well, I think it's important for a number of reasons, but I think this law speaks to the very essence of what open government is and what transparent government is. But I think it allows citizens to go back and look at the record. they may be citizens who are shut-ins who just can't attend the meetings and they want to watch the meeting later. It may be the media who wants to give an accurate version of what transpired in a meeting. It may be lawyers who are trying to hold government accountable. But, you know, I just want to make this point here that it's not just, you know, small cities in western Arkansas. In the high-profile Huntsville case, in which, you know, students were sexually assaulting other students, this issue raised its head in that case also. We found that the Huntsville schools were not only on some instances they were failing to record altogether. In other instances, they weren't keeping it for the requisite 1 year. I mean, and this was on important matters like Title IX training, discussing millage revenue, discipline, disciplinary hearings. So, you know, some very serious matters. In a large school district like Cabot, we currently have a lawsuit pending right now where the Cabot School Board was going into executive session, which they can do to discuss personnel matters, and then they were coming out of executive session, and they weren't recording the vote as they're required to do. And they've admitted on at least 17 occasions they violated the act that Thomas accurately described.
And so, and the situation with Mr. Turner and Branch, which I should say, he and I share the same last name. We're not related. I've never met Mr. Turner, so I just want to make that clear. Just for Joey, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm not related to him. You mentioned, you know, quite simply, there was a difference of opinion of what Mr. Turner had said during a meeting, and what was recorded in the minutes of that meeting. And there is, with no recording, no way to go back to figure out which version of the story is accurate.
That's so true, and that's the second extremely important aspect of this law, is that sometimes minutes of government bodies just aren't accurate, and they don't reflect the actual conversations, the discussions, and so it's important to have a permanent document, permanent recording, at least for a year, where you can go back and make that comparison. And unfortunately for Mr. Turner, he didn't have that right to do that. He had the right, but since there was no recording, you know, basically he's being misrepresented in his opinion as to what he said.
And you said, now we're recording this, this will publish on Friday, but we're recording it on Thursday afternoon. And Joey, you said you've got a lawsuit filing today or on Thursday in the case with Mr. Turner and the City of Branch.
We put it in. Unfortunately, they don't have Franklin County doesn't have where we can file online, so it was actually put in the mail 2 days ago, and I've got the office checking to see kind of has it been filed as we speak. But yes, if it's not filed, it will be in the next day or two, depending on the postal service.
Okay, so the lawsuit's in transit now to Franklin County, which is where Branch is. So, Thomas, I want to kind of shift gears a little bit. When we heard about this, at the newspaper, we asked Thomas and Monica to start polling some of the communities, some of the smaller communities in the River Valley, just to see if there were any other situations like Branch who for whatever reason weren't keeping those recordings. Thomas, can you tell us just a little bit about what you and Monica have found so far in your survey of the communities in that region?
Well, to kind of establish a baseline, Rusty, Monica and I, we reached out to every city and town in Sebastian, Crawford, Franklin, and Logan counties, as well as the counties themselves, to see where they each stood in following Act 1028 since it went into full effect in 2020. We started this process last week with all this inclement weather going around. We sent emails basically to all these various entities with whatever email addresses that we could find and followed up as needed with over the telephone. One thing that Monica in particular had a challenge that we both faced, but is that a lot of these smaller towns don't have means by which you can a person could easily contact them and by extension, you know, make a request for recordings of meetings, even if they had recordings of those meetings. For example, there are a number of towns where a listed phone the phone number for these cities and towns that are listed on the Arkansas Municipal website, they just don't go through. Monica was telling me just a little while ago that, you know, sometimes they would just you just hear a loud beeping sound and then the phone would just hang up, really. And so a matter of contact, just, you know, getting in touch with somebody with these various places can be challenging in of itself. And if it's challenging for a reporter, I would imagine it would also be challenging for just a common citizen who may want to know what's going on in their local communities. And there's also just, it's a matter of consistency. Like some cities and towns have really good websites where you can, if not, you know, see the videos or sound recordings of their public meetings, you know, they have a way through which you can contact them to get a copy of those recordings. And other times they just barely have anything at all. You know, so they may have a Facebook page, but that might be just the extent of it. Now, in the other kind of a, you know, swing around to the opposite extreme, we've found that, you know, of the ones that we were able to get in contact with and or, you know, agreed to talk to us, we have had a couple of parties just decline to speak to us flat out. It seems like a good portion of them, at least some of the larger ones, do, you know, record their meetings either by recording or video or both. If you're agreeing with, they do it both ways. And make them make those recordings easily available. But really, it's kind of it's a matter of consistency, I would say, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I'm in glancing through your story, I know that, you know, some of them, you know, the links are posted on the website, so you really don't have to contact anybody. If you just go to the website, find the link, and watch the meeting or listen to the meeting, whether it's audio or video, and then. Others, you know, it might be a little more difficult, and you do have to contact someone to get the file. We are talking, a lot of these communities we're talking about are, you know, very small towns, probably with part-time mayors or very little or no staff. So I know that one of the concerns we've heard back is that, you know, oh, we're a small town, we don't have the resources to have some sort of fancy recording devices and device to store this information. I think technology is to the point where it's really not all that expensive anymore to make these recordings and to save them, or at least that seems to be our experience. Joey, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think that's true, and I think Representative Flowers did a really, really fine job on this, and I think that the expense is minimal compared to the transparency, compared to the openness, compared to just you know, good government that's involved. I can tell you that I know that there's at least one town, and I can't, due to a confidence that someone told me, and I said I would not reveal the town, although Monica probably interviewed those folks. I know that they've been in contact with the Municipal League, who told them that they had to record these meetings, and they were not doing it. So I don't know what the results were that Thomas and Monica came up with, but I know there's another town in close proximity to Branch, Arkansas, that was not recording meetings, and they were in contact with the Municipal League, so who told them they needed to.
No, and I will mention, I do recall this bill as it came through the legislature in 2019, and while it was Representative Flowers was the sponsor, and she's a Democrat, it had bipartisan support. It was widely supported in both parties because it is, at its essence, a transparency bill. It's about making local government accessible. So was that your memory of that, Joey?
Absolutely, 100%. It was. I thought it had bipartisan support, and it's just a good government, just a good government bill. And yeah, it, you know, we're, and that's what I find with FOIA, and that's what I say all the time. You know, the Freedom of Information Act, transparency is not a Republican or a Democrat issue or a liberal or conservative issue. It's a freedom issue, and we should all be behind that cause.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you mentioned the case in Cabot, which I followed a little bit. That, you know, they were recording the meetings, and then they were only recording parts of the meetings, and they were leaving out part of the meeting that should have been in the recording, even after the executive session, which is closed. You know, after the executive session ended, they weren't turning the recording back on until after the vote that was the executive session. Had influence on was taken. Is that correct?
That is correct. Now they're trying to say that it was, there's no violation there. It's a moot point because we went back in on those 17 times that we did it, and we did have a vote, recorded vote. So they're like, it's a moot point now. But I don't know how you correct a violation that's already occurred of failure to record. It makes no sense. I mean, we're not trying to overturn the actions that occurred in those meetings that were supposed to be recorded. All we're trying to do is, it's a violation, don't do it again, and get appropriate training.
Well, and you know, Thomas and Monica have been calling around in the area, and Joey, I'm assuming you've been hearing from other citizens in other communities who may be experiencing similar problems. Are you looking at any other communities? And you don't have to name them, but is this something you're continuing to look at?
I'm definitely continuing to look at it because I think it's a statewide wide problem, as we've seen. I mean, it happened in Huntsville. It happened in Cabot. Now we see it in Branch. I know that kind of a sister city down in that area near Branch had the same problem. But and we just need to get it corrected because it is relatively inexpensive proposition to record a meeting. And whether it is or it isn't, it's the law, and it needs to be followed. Citizens like Jimmy Cavan in Cabot shouldn't be put in the position when they're saying, literally, he was turned over to the prosecutor, in essence, by the district, and told that he could be prosecuted for his actions, looking into whether this was superintendent's salary, which was discussed in executive session, was then properly voted on. And it's pretty clear that it was not, and it has not been in the past, and that's concerning. And then to not record that portion of the meeting and now try to impugn Jimmy Cavan's reputation is just wrong.
So, and are there any penalties, or, you know, what's the recourse if someone is found, if a government entity is found in violation of this particular aspect of the FOI?
Yeah, unfortunately, not much. You know, we've got the issue of attorney fees, which I guess some would consider a certain penalty for years. I brought these cases told governing bodies that, you know, you admit your violation, I won't collect attorney fees. But then there's absolutely no accountability. But one thing that I want to accomplish, and probably with 15 or 20 orders across the state on various matters, from open meetings, records, you know, recordings, I do want an order, because if they do it again, I think I'm I'm headed to the prosecutor's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is one of the potential penalties, although prosecutors, from my experience, are very, very reluctant to pursue criminal charges. But I think if it's repetitive and it happens again, then that might change that dynamic. And, you know, all we want is open government, and transparent government, because that's so important under the spirit of FOIA. I mean, it's purpose, and we put that in every complaint, and it's just so important.
Yeah, and there are some misdemeanor criminal penalties if someone is found in criminal violation of the FOI, but you're right. There are only a handful of cases where an actual prosecution has taken place in those around the state. We've been involved in a couple of them up here, but they're pretty rare.
Yes, they're pretty rare. I give kudos to Sebastian County Prosecutor Daniel Hsu. You know, he may not ultimately prosecute, but he always he's willing to listen. And and I think that's the important part, is that prosecutors are willing to listen, and under the right circumstances, if they feel like that the violation meets that standard, then they're willing to prosecute.
Yeah. All right. Well, Thomas, is there anything else you'd like to add about your story coming this weekend? I think we're all looking forward to seeing what you found out, what you and Monica found out.
No, I'm really excited to, share this with everybody. It's been a very, interesting, journey. You know, I've learned a lot about, the Freedom of Information Act and, you know, what it currently consists of through doing this story and, basically, having a general idea of, the communities that I regularly write about, you know, where they stand in following the updated FOIA law. So it was, very beneficial for me. You know, the best stories that I write are ones in which I actually learn something. I always enjoy that element to when I'm writing about anything.
All right, Joey. Before we cut off, before we go, anything you'd like to add?
Well, I'd just say that, you know, obviously we knew that this was going to be an important law when it was passed, but I think we see it in action when a lawsuit's filed, and that we do see actual violations. And the importance of a lawsuit is it sends a message that we're open, and we should be an open society. Our government should do its business in the open. And I think the other thing that I always reflect back on is the importance of the media, not only local newspapers, but the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, because if nobody ever knows that J.B. Turner filed a lawsuit and it's just in a vacuum, then government will continue to operate as it operates. And but yes, it just speaks to the importance, in my opinion, of the media and, exposing, sometimes it's good, but sometimes we expose things that aren't. And this case in the Huntsville case, I mean, many times these recordings are so vitally important. I mean, this involved youngsters and in some very, very serious situations. And so, that's why it's so important, because generally the issues that are being explored are really, really serious matters.
Well, Joey, I appreciate your time spending a few minutes with us today to talk about this. One of our goals is to bring attention to the importance of open government and the requirements on the part of the government to be open and accessible to its citizens and to hold them accountable. So I appreciate your time today to help us do that. And Thomas, I appreciate your time as well. So thank you both for being here.
My pleasure.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right.
Now let me tell you about some of the other great content we have coming your way in this weekend's editions of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. Al Gaspany and Dave Porozik will have all you need to know about the upcoming spring school board elections in the region, including what seats are coming open and how to file to run for one of the offices. The city of Bentonville will welcome the Adventure Racing World Series to town as the organization plans to move its headquarters there. Mike Jones will tell us more. The city of Fayetteville will put more American Rescue Plan money into child care assistance for qualified residents. Stacy Ryburn brings us more details. Monica Brick tells us about the city of Fort Smith's efforts to prohibit the sale of unlicensed... Monica Brick will tell us about the city of Fort Smith's efforts to prohibit the unlicensed sale of dogs and cats in the community. The Fort Smith School Board is considering updating attendance zones, which may mean students in Barling will be headed to a different high school. Monica has those details as well. All of that and much more is coming your way in our weekend editions. Subscribers can access it all on our website, NWAOnline.com, or our other website, RiverValleyDemocratGazette.com. They can also get all of that content through our tablet and smartphone apps. If you're not a subscriber, you should give us a chance to show us what you're missing. Just hit the subscribe button on our websites or call us at 479-684-5509. Again, that is 479-684-5509. You will be glad you did. The Know the News podcast comes your way every Friday, brought to you by the newsrooms of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette and the River Valley Democrat Gazette. We'll be back next week with a new edition, and until then, this is your host, Rusty Turner, saying so long.